It is good to see everyone today on this February 26, 2023. We're continuing the message we began last week. We're going to go a little bit deeper into the one-on-one reactions between Jesus and the people that reached out to him in faith. And the title of today's message is the same as last week, The Endgame of Faith, Part 2. And so I'm going to dive right in. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 7 says this, that the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call upon you today, I just ask for forgiveness of daily sin that I confess to you and throughout the week. And Lord, I thank you for this spiritual gut check that I know I have to have every Sunday morning in preparation spiritually. And so, Father, I thank you that it's a great privilege to not let things build up within me. I need to come to you and confess and repent and get cleansing by your blood, because I need to be used of you. And I need to be a servant of you to wash the feet of these people that listen, and to be used of you to point scriptures that can help us in life. And so, Father, as I ask for forgiveness and a cleansing and an anointing of your Spirit, Lord, anoint me with your Spirit today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will move upon us in such a special way. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Before I begin, Coach Sisk brought up prayer for the young high school man. Young boy who was killed in the motorcycle accident before the region game last night. They announced to have prayer for him. As many of you know, I spent a lot of time in Smyrna because that's where our boat is, at the south end of Priest Lake there near Nashville. And I don't know if you saw the news last week, but a young lady that's a senior at Smyrna, who was all district basketball, volleyball. She played the violin in the school orchestra and is a National Honor Society. They were at a tournament in Kentucky, and a young man was out of jail that shouldn't have been out of jail. And he was under the influence, driving recklessly, and they were walking down the side of the road and in the city. On the sidewalk with her family, she got hit, and they had to amputate both her legs. So, you know, when I just read the trial of your faith, and Pulaski is where she signed to play volleyball, and they spoke with those coaches, and they're going to honor her scholarship, and they spoke to all the high school coaches, And I can't, was it Kentucky? Or what, it was St. Louis, wasn't it? Yeah, it was St. Louis. The mayor of St. Louis is now asking for the job of the district attorney that suggested this person be let out of jail. So there's a major upheaval about this. But, you know, your life can change on a dime in a moment. And I think back when I was playing ball, when I was a senior, and my whole life was ahead of me and all that, and how would I have handled that kind of a situation? So I can't remember the young lady's name. You can look it up, and I'm sure you'll get it. Please pray for this family. But let me pray. Father, we come to you for this young lady, for her family, for what she's going through. Father, here's a person that has done everything right. As we look at life, and out of nowhere, someone that has done everything wrong has taken away a portion and a huge part of her life. And so, Father, I thank you for the folks in Smyrna and Smyrna High School that are rallying around her and her family. And, Father, just bless them in a special way. And, Father, I just pray for this young man Coach Sis brought up, his family, another high school student that unexpectedly lost their life. So, Father, we're in a fallen world. And Lord, but you are perfect, and you will hold us, and you will take care of us. And so we place these people in your hands, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I think it was as of Thursday, they had raised $300,000 for that family in their GoFundMe page. So the end game of faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says this: receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So I want you to understand that true faith, genuine faith, and effective faith results in receiving or possessing or experiencing. So if you're saved, you know what real faith is. We studied that last week in the parable of the four soils. There were three levels of belief that were not genuine faith that resulted in receiving salvation, receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so we are saved by faith, but the scripture tells us to also live by faith. So when I apply faith to what Jesus did on the cross and I receive my salvation, I understand that. My dependence on Him, my confidence in what He did, my need for Him to save me. I cannot save myself. But I want to apply that as a foundation to every other area of my life. And so, true faith results in receiving, possessing, and experiencing. To obtain the thing we are asking for. And it's almost like, I'm reaching out and I'm grabbing hold of God and I'm saying, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You know, I'm just not going to let you go until you bless me. So let me give you this word in. Look at what it says: receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That word in the Greek is telos, T-E-L-O-S. And it means an outcome or a result. So faith needs to have, your faith in Jesus needs to have outcomes and results in your life. And one part of the definition actually says a definite point or goal that is aimed at or aimed for. So I want to jump right in and explain this definition through the scripture. So go to Mark chapter 10, Bartimaeus. We looked at it last week. But I want you to understand how faith works, how concise it is, how direct it is, and how you persevere in it. Because when you come to Mark chapter 10, verse 46, as Jesus is passing through Jericho, Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road and he's hollering, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And people are telling him to be quiet. But he won't be quiet. And the Lord hears him and he stops and calls for Bartimaeus to be brought unto him. And in verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do for you? You know, what will thou that I should do unto you? And I want you to understand that is the first step of your faith. What do you mean my faith? Understanding that God wants to do things in your life. He wants to do things for you. He wants to do things in you. And I want you to visualize every time you go into a prayer closet in petition or in intercession. Petition is when you pray for yourself. Intercessions when you're praying for others. So anytime you go into a prayer closet in petition or intercession, I want you to understand, as the Lord says, you go into your closet, you shut the door, I will meet you there. And He is literally saying to you, Miss Betty, what is it you want me to do for you today? He's got that willingness, He's got that concern, He's got that care for every area of your life. And so as you hear him say that, the blind man, Bartimaeus, his response was, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go your way, your faith hath made you whole." And immediately he received his sight. So how did he get healed? He got healed as a result of his faith. He got healed as a result of crying out to Jesus. There are too many areas in our lives right now that we don't even bring before the Lord. There are too many areas in our life right now that we've given up on. There are too many areas in our life where we either figure too much time has passed or it's too difficult. And you know, maybe we need to sing that song, Ken, "There is nothing too difficult for thee." You know, people stand up and sing that song all the time, and I don't know if they halfway believe it. There are too many areas in our life that the Lord's saying, "Look, I can help you in this area. Bring it before me." But I want you to notice what he said. "What is it that you want me to do?" My friend, when I talk about true faith results in receiving, possessing, and experiencing, I want you to understand an underlying element of that is I have great expectations that God is doing things in my life. I have great expectations that I need God to do things in my life. There are doors I need God to open. There are people I need God to bring into my life for me to know. There are healings I need God to work for me. There is wisdom I need God to give me and clear direction and guidance that I need. I need God to do things for me. And you need God to do things for you. And if you look back over your life, how many times have you seen what God has done? God has opened doors for you. God has brought people into your life. God has protected you in an accident. God has healed you of a disease. God has provided a heart. God has provided a kidney. God has done these things for us over and over and over again. And so here's Bartimaeus. I believe this is his first interaction with Jesus. He had probably heard things about him. We've got such a greater advantage. We've got a whole record and a whole scorecard. We can look back over of what God has done. And yet at times we act like he's not going to do anything else. Look at what he says. "What is it you want me to do for you?" My faith in him, you know, and again, people say, "Oh yeah, I've got faith." And what they mean is they believe in the existence of God. It's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the faith. My faith in him to do something for me. All right, that's what we're talking about. My faith in him to do something for me, for my life. Not in a selfish way. Not in a self-promotion way. But in a way that'll give me victory over the things that I'm facing in life, in a spiritual way, in a godly way, in a God-glorifying way. Now, go to another one. Go to Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, as Jesus is actually going to heal someone else, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." I'll get healed. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has resulted in your healing." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And what I want to focus on here is, look at what she said within herself. She was totally convinced of this. Now, she had heard of Jesus. She had possibly seen Jesus healing. But notice what it says. "And the woman, which was diseased, had said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole.'" What is that? That's expectation. That's belief. That's expectation. And you know, my friend, as I said earlier before we started recording today, you know, the conversations that we have within ourselves on a spiritual level are either helping us or they're either hurting us. But I want to tell you something right now. If some huge dilemma comes up in my life this afternoon and I need to make a decision and I need clear direction, I'm going to tell you one thing that I know I can say within myself. I can say, hey, if I can get enough time to get alone with God and make this a matter of prayer, I will get an answer from the Lord. Amen. And that's the kind of life we need to live. You know, we've got to have that expect. We've got to say within ourselves, hey, I know God can handle this thing. I know if I'll stay out of this, I know God can handle this thing. I know if I get along with the Lord, He'll reveal things. I need to get in the Word. I need to get in the Psalms. As I read the Psalms, I believe God's going to bring me revelation and guidance in this area. And so it's the things we say within ourselves. And many times we'll talk ourselves out of going before the Lord. Oh, I'm not going to bother the Lord with this. I'm not good enough, you know. God's not involved in my life personally. You know, the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's all we got to say. He's involved in your life personally and intimately. And you need to get that expectation. That woman said, man, all I've got to do is get through this crowd. If I got to crawl, and she probably crawled because it was the hem of the garment. Can you believe that? She's crawling through this crowd and she reaches up and just touches it. She didn't even grab it. You know, she didn't grab it, pull him back. She touched it and she said, man, if I can just get to Jesus, I'm going to get healed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And my friend, what great faith is that? Well, I want you to understand, you have that great faith. I have that great faith. And there are situations, you know, my mama told me a lot of times when I was going through rough times, high school, college, whatever, even early on in the ministry, she'd just tell me, you just need to get along with Jesus and he'll give you peace about what you need to do. And I mean, that's a verbatim quote. She would always tell me that. Now, you know, because I get tore up. I mean, I'd be tore up. I'd be emotional. You know, I'd be angry or I'd be worried or whatever it is. And the thing of it is, we need to say within ourselves her belief, her trust, her confidence for Christ's power to do something for her and receiving the end what she had asked for. And you know, it's the level of expectation that we possess concerning the Lord being interested in our life. And He is. He created you in the womb. He cares about every area of your life. And so you need that expectation. You know, as we make decisions for the future, God will give us, you know, clear decisions about what it is we're to do. In Matthew 9, look at verse 18. It says, while he spake these things unto them, a certain ruler that worshipped him said, my daughter is even now dead. But if you will come and lay your hand upon her, she shall live. And in verse 23, Jesus came to the house and the mourners were there. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame of Jesus went abroad unto all the land. So she got the healing, or she was raised from the dead. But notice what it says in verse 18. Notice the attitude of the father. He goes, my daughter is even now dead. But if you will come and lay a hand upon her, she shall live. You know, the expectation was, hey, this is a bad situation. But if we can get Jesus involved in this situation, it'll get better. And there are times in life when it's not only you. You got to go to your family member and say, look, I know we're going through a rough time, but you and I need to pray together and we need to get Jesus in the middle of this thing. We need to grab hold of the Lord and get Him involved in this thing. The three of us need to get together. We need to pray for our sister or pray for our loved one or pray for this person. We want God to do a work in their life. But the thing is, we go through life as if we don't possess the ability to get God involved in these situations. And we do. And when the power of God was moving through the first century church, and when the power of Jesus was moving through those 3.5 years, the whole essence of it was they were getting God involved in the personal situations in their lives, and He never turned anybody down. He was willing. And it doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter, whatever it is that you feel, the Lord loves you. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord's got a plan for you. And just like when Peter was in a jam and he's locked up in a dungeon, they got together and what do? They had a prayer meeting, yeah, and they prayed. No, they got God involved. I want God involved in this situation. And that's how you need to pray. That's what prayer life is. We talk about prayer. That's prayer. Prayer is as easy as Jesus walking up to you and saying, Ken, what is it you want me to do for you? And Ken saying, well, Lord, I've got some arthritis I want you to take care of. You know, or whatever the situation might be. We dress it up. We formalize. Here you got a woman crawling, grabbing the hem of Jesus' garment, and the power of the Lord's moving. And so his belief was, if I can only get Jesus to come and go to my house, He'll heal my daughter. But let me show you another guy. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says this. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Look how willing the Lord is. I'll come to your house. I'll come and heal him. And then the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come to my house, come under my roof. But if you just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. He wasn't even going to ask him to come. He was just going to say, you say the word and my servant shall be healed. And in verse 10, Jesus heard what the man said. And he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not even in Israel. And in verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And his selfsame hour the servant was healed. Jesus, look at what he believed. He believed all God had to do was say the word, and the whole situation would have been changed. Just speak, Jesus. You know, I believe in that prayer. Do you ever pray that prayer? I pray that prayer all the time. Lord, speak to that person's heart. Speak to that person's heart. Lord, speak to my heart. And you know, there have been times in my life we've been praying for someone, and I've been praying, Lord, speak to their heart. Speak to their heart. Speak to their heart. Because I'm wanting them to change the direction of their life and give their life to God or follow God or allow something else to get worked out in their life. And sure enough, folks will respond and say, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about something. Just speak the word. What great faith is that? Lord, speak peace, be still. You know, I was praying for these girls the other night. I said, Lord, speak peace unto them. Let them be calm. Let them play to the best of their ability. You know, same thing I prayed for Daniel his entire career. Lord, just let them play. Just let them be calm. Give them peace. Let them play to the best of their ability. Now, that's simple prayer. It's a simple prayer. But we can apply these things in every area of our life. every area of our life. All God's got to do is speak the word and stuff happens. And you got to believe that. Let me show you a huge example of that. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Oh, I've got faith. Do you? Do you have the expectancy of faith? Are you seeing the results of your faith? Are you grabbing hold of God and seeing changes wrought in your life, victories brought into your life, the movement of God where you can sincerely say, the power of God has done this. The power of God has done this to me, has done this for me, has done this in my family. God has blessed. In Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And then come to verse 9, for he spake and it was done. When God speaks, stuff happens. I need God doing things in my life. You need God doing things in your life. He spake and it was done. Faith sees God doing things in the life of the individual believer. And I left that scripture a moment ago to come to Psalm 33. But what is Jesus, what did he repeat there? According to your faith, be it done unto thee. The Lord is waiting. Is there a situation going on in your life right now? Well, guess what? And it's been going on for a long time. Maybe God's waiting on you to ask him to do something about it. To show you something, reveal something to you. It's the same principle. The same principle and power that created the universe. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He's in the boat and he says, peace be still. And the wind and the waves stopped. I take this prayer in another direction. A lot of times I get alone with God and I say, Lord, I just need a word from you on this. I need a word from you on this, Jesus. I need direction. I need to know what I'm supposed to do. I need clear guidance. You know, as you go through situations in your life, stages in your life, you know, I want to know. I need a word from you. So he spake and creation came into being. So I want you to understand that. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath. He speaks and he creates things. Isn't that wonderful? He speaks and he creates the universe. Well I'm going to narrow this thing down, okay? I'm going to shrink it. I'm going to bring it down somewhere else. Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. He spoke and he created the universe. Now look at what he can do. And then I'm going to give you a huge concept and a huge principle concerning your faith. Thanks, Coach. The person we're praying for is Janae Edmondson. That's the volleyball player from Smyrna. Please add her. Janae Edmondson, J-A-N-A-E, who is still in the hospital recovering from losing both of her legs. In Psalm 51, David has gone through a horrific time. And he has rebelled against God, sinned against God, turned against the God who blessed him. He's committed murder. He's committed adultery. He, for a year, did not repent of it. And now he has repented. And then he prays this prayer. And I'm going to give you a huge principle concerning our faith in our lives. In Psalm 51, verse 10, we've just seen, in Psalm 33, he spake and he created the universe. But in Psalm 51, verse 10, David asks this. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, I want you to understand, faith moves God to change things. That's what it's all about. Faith moves God to change things. If you're sick and you're praying for a healing, you're asking God to change things. If there's turmoil and all kind of drama and upset in a relationship, and you're wanting peace in a relationship, you're praying for God to change things. So faith is calling upon God to change things, whether it's healings, deliverances, whether it's bringing wisdom into your life and to give direction, those kinds of things. So what I want you to understand, though, in certain situations in life, sometimes the situation doesn't change. What do you mean, Brother Leo? Does that mean I don't have enough faith? No. Sometimes the situation's not going to change. You might be in a situation right now, and I mean it's a hamster wheel. For the last 10, 12, 15 years, it's not changed. Last 4 years, it's not changed. So there are going to be times you come across situations and you're praying that God will do this and God will do that and God will do that, and it doesn't seem to be changing. Well, we're in a fallen world. Sometimes for situations to change, other folks have to be changed, and they're not willing to be changed. So what happens then? Is God not strong enough to just go ahead and change him anyway? Oh yeah, he's strong enough, but we got a thing called free will. So we're living in a fallen world with fallen people who have free will. So there are times situations are not going to change. But praise God, guess what? God can speak the word and you can be changed. Look what that scripture says. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so one of the great, great, great prayers of faith is, not only, God, I need you to change this situation, but even more than that, Lord, I need you to change me. Change my perspective. Change the way I look at it. You know, faith in this is 1 John 5:4. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only victory that overcomes the world. So what is faith in Jesus Christ? It's expecting God to do something against the situations that are coming against you so that you can overcome. But what I want you to understand, those situations that are coming against you may not change. They may get worse, but when he changes you, strengthens you, and grows you, even though the situation has not changed, you overcome in the power and spirit of God. And so often, David is praying the greatest prayer he could pray. Look what he says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How often do you pray that? You know, most times we're praying for other people that we think need a spirit attitude adjustment. Lord, change that person. They're mean. You know, Lord, grab their mind. They're doing something to my family. They're hurting my children. They're doing this. You know, they've got a mean spirit. They've got, this, that, and the other going on. Well, let me tell you something. That person may never change. I hope they do. I hope they come to Jesus. I hope they end up full of love. But the beautiful thing is, God can change you. But it's only going to be done as according to your faith. What do you mean, Brother Leo? Well, you need to take yourself before the Lord. Lord, this situation's tearing me up. I understand it may never change. I understand it's not right. You know it's not right. I've told you it's not right. But Lord, you are all powerful, all loving. And I want you to change me. I want you to grow me. I want you to bring me wisdom that I don't have right now concerning this. I want you to bring me peace that I don't have right now. I want you to bring me guidance, direction, and spiritual growth that I don't have right now. Because believe it or not, my dear friend, there are other people that are probably facing things similar to you. And if you can grow in this prayer, God can use you to help them as they're still in that kindergarten mode of wanting God to change the situation. But I want to praise God today. This is a 100% no fail outcome of our faith. I'm going to tell you something right now. Whatever you're going through, God can either change the situation or He can change you, and both results come out in victory. So you can't lose. And every one of these situations, those people came before the Lord and they said, "Lord, I want you to do something for me that I can't do for myself." The blind man couldn't heal himself. The dad couldn't help the daughter. The centurion couldn't help the servant. And we've got to realize, first off, when it comes to faith, there are situations in our lives we're trying to handle for ourselves that we need to be given over to God. Let me show you an example of that before we close out today. Go with me to Romans chapter 4, and you're familiar with it. In Romans chapter 4, Paul uses two words that I want to bring out. He's talking about Abraham. And Abraham messed up. God promised him a son. So instead of waiting on God, he said, "Well, you know, under our law, if your servant girl has a child, it's your child. So I'll go unto Hagar." And here we are with the Arabs and the Palestinians and the Israelis. Two prophecies came out about Ishmael, you know, and Esau. They would be wild and violent, and that they would live and die by the sword. One man that couldn't wait on God. Praise God, Jennifer, there have been times in my life I didn't wait on God, but it didn't affect the whole history of the world, praise Jesus. But Abraham's did. These people are killing each other last week because he couldn't wait on God. But now notice this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it said, "And Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was," now grab this, "strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised to do, he was able to do it," to perform, to do something in his life. So I want you to understand, there are areas in our life. You just saw one man had great faith. One woman had faith. Another man had great faith. There are areas in our life where we're strong in faith, and there are areas in our life where we're weak in faith. I wish it were that we were strong in faith in every area of our life. But for some people, when it comes to their finances, they're weak. When it comes to their salvation, they're strong. They know they're saved. There are some people, when it comes to their salvation, they're strong. When it comes to their children, they're weak in faith. You know, situations. So what I want to do as I go from weak in faith to strong in faith is go to Luke chapter 8, where we were last week, and close out with this. And it's the same question we asked last week. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, you know, they launch forth. Let us go to the other side. As they sailed, he fell asleep, and the boat was about to sink. In 24, Master, Master, we perish. He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? We saw the lady a moment ago say within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. When you get despondent, when you get discouraged, when you get full of anxiety, I believe Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, where is your faith? When you get into a pity party and want to quit, I believe Jesus is looking at you and saying, where is your faith? And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm really thinking about my own self through this whole thing. When you say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Nobody's listening. Nobody hears. Nobody changes. The Lord says, where's your faith? And what I want you to understand is that there are areas where we're strong in faith. We need to examine our faith. And in those areas where you can say, you know, I'm strong in faith in this area, write down, you know, or take mental notes. Why is it that you're strong in faith in that area? And then if there's an area where you're weak in faith, write down, why am I not trusting God with this? Why is it that I've not given this over to the Lord? Because I want you to understand, the same Lord, the same power, the same love, the same concern, and the same willingness that healed the blind man, that stopped the issue of water, that changed the heart of David and renewed a right spirit within him, is the same God that wants to work in every situation in your life and in every attitude, thought, and perspective that you have within yourself. And you want to apply your faith and open yourself up to allow God to move. I want to leave you with two questions today. The one to Bartimaeus. What is it that you want me to do for you? Jesus is saying that, man. Jesus is saying that. And the second question is, is there an area in your life where the Lord's having to say, where is your faith? You know, where is your faith? You might say, Brother Leo, I'll tell you, I don't have a lot of faith about a situation. You know, I don't have a lot of faith about a situation in my family. I don't see it coming out well. Well, you keep praying about it. But you ask God to change you. You ask God to do a work in you where you can have victory until victory comes in the situation. Keep believing for victory in the situation, but allow God to change you as you continue on that journey. Because the devil wants us at a standstill in these situations. God allow, I got a whole nother message on the boat that we're probably not going to get to because we're going to get on the cross as we approach the season of our Lord's resurrection. But God allowed them to come into that storm so they could learn something about Him. How powerful He is. How powerful He is. And so, God will speak to you as you open up yourself in faith towards Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And see if there's a situation where you have to say, Lord, help my unbelief. I know I've not been faith in it, Lord. I know I've not really been putting this in your hands. And Father, there is a situation that I have been putting in your hands, but nothing's changing, Lord. So I'm going to ask you to change me. To give me joy and strength in this situation and keep hoping that it changes, but you want to accomplish so much in my life right now until that time. So I'm going to trust you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you tell the Lord what you need Him to do for you today? He's right there, blind Bartimaeus. Lord, that I might receive my sight, let the Holy Spirit reveal to you a need in your life that you need to take to God by your faith in Jesus to do something about it. Just for a few moments.